From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Gen X is in the local drinking water supply, albeit at significantly lower levels than it was 6 months ago. What kind of impact that has had or could have or will have on the people who drink the local water is still unclear. It was June of this year that the news broke about Chemours dumping this unregulated chemical compound into the Cape Fear River at the site of its Fayetteville facility, which sits about 100 miles upriver from Wilmington. For years, local environmental advocates have expressed concerns about the pollutant load in the river, but scientists had a hard time testing for pollutants they could not identify. So there was a vague awareness that industries dumped effluent into the river, but nobody quantified it much more than that. Then along came Detlef Canapi and his team of researchers from NC State, who brought into public focus the presence of unregulated, potentially toxic chemical compounds in the Cape Fear River. And that's where we pick up the story of Gen X. WHQR's Vince Winkle has covered the story since the Star News broke it on June 7th. And because there is so much to digest about the regulatory process, the science around filtering technologies, the history of Chemours and DuPont, the legal implications, and the questions around human health, Vince Winkle has produced a documentary set to air for the first time on Friday, December 15th at 1 p.m. here on HQR News. So today we're going to talk with Vince Winkle about the making of Gen X, A Toxic Year. Vince Winkle, welcome to Coastline.
Rachel, thanks for having me.
We are, of course, inviting you to join this conversation. If you have a question about where the story is, what we know, what we still don't know, or you'd like to tell us how you've dealt with the news, we'd like to hear from you. You can reach us during the live Wednesday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. Vince Winkle, you are the only full-time reporter that WHQR has right now. So you were going to be the one to cover the Gen X story regardless. But you actually arrived here in Wilmington specially, perhaps unfortunately, equipped to cover this kind of story. It isn't your first rodeo. Tell us about your coverage of Love Canal, which gave birth to the Superfund legislation.
Yeah, Love Canal is a neighborhood in Niagara Falls, which, as most people know, has got a lot of chemical plants. And just a quick bit of history. In 1890, a developer named William Love decided to build a canal between the upper and lower reaches of the Niagara River. They started construction. This was just through a wooded area of Niagara Falls. And then there were some issues with investors, and the stock market tanked in the mid-1890s, and the project ended. So what they had dug so far became first, it became a community dump, and then a chemical company, Hooker Chemical, which became Occidental, bought the property and used it to dump waste products from their chemical factory in 55-gallon drums. And then they covered it with dirt, and the property was sold to the Niagara School Board for a dollar. They built an elementary school right next to where this canal was, and then hundreds of homes were built around it. And in the 1970s, people in the neighborhood started getting sick. Kids who played barefoot in the field would come home with burns.
What kind of sick were people getting?
They were documented cancer clusters and other issues. So I got involved when I decided to, in 1990, use the 100th anniversary of when they started building the Love Canal to go back. To what was then an abandoned neighborhood. All the houses around it had either been bulldozed or were still waiting to be condemned, but they were all empty. And that started a long doing stories about Love Canal and its health impacts for me through the 90s and into the early 2000s, and culminated with me doing a one-hour TV documentary. because the New York Board of Health decided it was safe to go back, and they started reselling the old homes. It had been evacuated in 1978, when in 1978 Love Canal was, you know, was national news for quite some time.
And what was the public reaction those decades later, once it was uncovered that there was this toxicity in that environment?
Yeah, when that broke in 1978, I mean, the neighbors, there were protests. The media came in, and very shortly thereafter, the EPA evacuated all those that lived directly adjacent to the canal, and then later they expanded that evacuation. And coming out of what happened at Love Canal, the EPA, the Superfund program in the EPA was launched because lawmakers realized there are a lot of Love Canals around the country and a lot of toxic waste sites that haven't been uncovered yet, because since the dawn of man, what have we done with our waste? We bury it. We put it in a dump, and then we cover it up with dirt and put grass over it. And now all these, you know, years and years of whatever in these waste dumps that have percolated, you know, they eventually come to the surface.
And you also had the privilege of covering in Colorado a manufacturer of plutonium triggers. Plutonium that was manufactured during the Cold War.
Correct, at a place called Rocky Flats, just outside of Boulder. It's interesting, for such a beautiful part of the country, there are a lot of retired military facilities that left a lot of waste in the greater Denver area. And with the plutonium triggers, the wastewater from that process was illegally dumped on an Air Force base, and eventually converted into sludge, which was used as fertilizer on hundreds of acres of farmland in eastern Colorado, until it was uncovered that that sludge, that fertilizer, was tainted.
And that brings you to Wilmington. You came on staff here at WHQR in April of this year, so you haven't even been here a year. You were hired as a general assignment reporter, which means your beat is everything. And then the Star News breaks the story on June 7th about Gen X. So let's talk about how that story broke. Vaughn Haggerty did the first piece. He was the first reporter to hear about it and publish a report. And I remember it was a Wednesday, mm-hmm. because we were doing Coastline, and we had reporter Adam Wagner from the Star News here in the studio. It was just a reporter roundtable. But talk to us first, because in your documentary, Gen X, A Toxic Year, you spoke with Pam Sander, executive editor of Star News Media. So tell us about that.
Yeah, and, you know, we spoke with Vaughn, we spoke with Adam, because since June, this has been a huge part of their life. And the Star News has done amazing work covering this story. So I sat down with Pam, who told the story of the first time she and Vaughn, in some restaurant, talked about Gen X. She learned about Gen X in a Wilmington restaurant with Vaughn Haggerty.
And he was actually doing a story on just water quality overall. He's very interested in the environment and some of the different reports coming out about the water. And so he was working on a story about that. And so he and I would meet, and he'd give me an update on where he was. I can actually remember we met at Southern Thai, the restaurant, because we usually it's somewhere near one of our houses just to catch up. It's a quick little. And we met at Southern Thai, and I got there and sat down, and they came up and asked me if I wanted water, and he said, "You don't want to drink the water. It's not bottled here." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Vaughn?" And he said, "Pam, you just wouldn't believe what I've uncovered."
In the 6 months since then, there have been demonstrations, panel discussions, debates, a celebrity, and countless reports on how we got here and where we should go.
That's what a CFPUA investigation had to say about the utility's handling of information about Gen X and its drinking water supply. Given the limited information...
Officials from Chemours will meet with local leaders this morning at the New Hanover County Government Center. Here's what we can expect from that meeting. First of all, it is not open to the public. It is invitation only and includes...
Those in Carolina Beach are not affected by Gen X or any other chemicals that were discovered in the Cape Fear River. Carolina Beach gets its water from under...
Chemours, part of a sprawling 2,200-acre site called Fayetteville Works along the Cape Fear River. It sits some 100 miles upstream. In June, Gen X was reported at high levels in the Cape Fear River and drinking water downstream of that plant, which is also home to DuPont and Curaray. Those high levels were in the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority and being consumed in drinking water.
WHQR News, I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The Star News has broken a story about a potentially cancer-causing chemical in southeastern North Carolina's drinking water supply. According to a piece published by Vaughn Haggerty at starnewsonline.com, a chemical replacement for a key ingredient in Teflon linked to cancer and a host of other ailments has been found in the drinking water system.
Star News correspondent Vaughn Haggerty broke the story some 6 months ago.
People always ask me how I came across the Gen X story, and I guess I kind of wish it were a little more exciting, involving, you know, secret undercover meetings and meetings in parking lots and things like that, but it's not. It's very serendipitous. I started Googling around to see if anything had been done on fluorochemicals in the Cape Fear River, and... came across a number of things. Among them was the study that included a number of people, including Detlef Kanapi at NC State. And even then, honestly, I mean, it read like a scientific study, and I'm certainly not a scientist. But after talking with some folks about it, it became pretty clear that this was going to be a much bigger story than just those chemicals in the UCMR data.
Haggerty did not expect this story to be...
And you're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking with Vince Winkle, who has produced a documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year. And we're taking your questions on this live Wednesday discussion. What have you always wanted to ask a local reporter about this story? Now's your chance. You can call us today at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking today with Vince Winkle, WHQR's only full-time reporter, who was hired near the end of April as a general assignment reporter. He enjoyed about 6 weeks of that until the Star News broke the story of Gen X on June 7th. Since then, Gen X has become his beat, and he's put together an hour-long documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year, that WHQR will air for the first time on Friday, December 15th at 1 p.m. Vince Winkle is also answering your questions on this Wednesday. Which elements of the story have you always found confusing? What road do you think local reporters need to go down that perhaps they haven't? There are two ways to get your question in on this Wednesday discussion. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Vince, the citizen advocacy group Clean Cape Fear arose in response to the news about Gen X. And the fact that there are other, probably more in terms of volume, chemical compounds in the drinking water supply that we don't fully understand. Tell us about meeting Emily Donovan of Clean Cape Fear.
Emily lives in Brunswick County and is a mother and a big advocate on helping people understand this issue. So she was one of the co-founders of Clean Cape Fear. And I've seen her. She's organized several of these forums and has been very helpful in disseminating useful information that people then go to their website, cleancapefear.org, or go to their Facebook page. There's another group as well called Wilmington Stop Gen X in Our Water, which is run by Beth Marcosino, which is similar in that it provides information because this is such a complex issue. Emily is passionate about finding answers and solutions, and I interviewed her just a few weeks ago. Emily Donovan lives in Brunswick County. She's the co-founder of the Clean Cape Fear Group. She's also angry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how can you not be? How can you not when, you know, when I moved here and I was pregnant with twins and I was told to drink a lot of water? You know, you just take this kind of, take for granted that your water is safe to drink. You have no reason not to think your water is safe to drink. You live in the greatest country by some standards. You know, we're supposed to be the leader in setting example for how we govern ourselves. And I am ingesting chemicals that are linked to serious health problems for a developing fetus, for a newborn, for a nursing mother, and for a developing and growing child. I mean, these are not pretty chemicals.
They are not pretty chemicals, but they are persistent.
The more we learn, the less we like about these chemicals, and at small doses. And I think that's what angers me the most, is when I hear someone who does not understand fluoral chemicals or highly fluorinated compounds, and they'll tell me, well, you know what, parts per trillion is such a small amount, but they don't understand how these chemicals work. They bioaccumulate. They don't biodegrade. They collect in our cells when we get chronically exposed to them, and we have been chronically exposed to them, and we've been unaware of that.
That is Emily Donovan from Clean Cape Fear, part of Vince Winkle's new documentary, Gen X, A Toxic Year.
And she raises a point, and this was something that struck me when I read those first articles, is initially when you think of parts per trillion, it is such a small number that it is hard to fathom that it could do any harm. I mean, when I was younger, everything was measured in parts per million. I mean, trillion, that's... it's enormous. However, these chemicals do accumulate. And so it is not, so, you know, they don't just flush out of your system. And that's where maybe the health issues will come from. But again, it's such a complex issue that right now we don't know really much of anything about health effects from Gen X or the similar compounds that are in the water stream coming from Chemours.
We're talking with Vince Winkle, WHQR reporter, who's covered the story of Gen X since it broke in June of this year. He's produced a one-hour documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year, that airs for the first time this coming Friday, December 15th at 1 p.m. And, of course, you'll be able to find it online, too, at WHQR.org. If you have a question for Vince about his coverage of this story, or there's a particular element that has been hard for you to understand, and give us a call on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. One of the elements, Vince, of this story that I think has riled up members of the public is Chemours' kind of non-response to the public. Can you talk about your efforts to get in touch with them? And actually, Jim from Wilmington called in and said, Vince, how has it been talking to the people at Chemours about Gen X?
It's been frustrating in that I've been requesting an interview for 6 months, and they either decline or I don't hear back from them. Occasionally they've sent out email statements, I think twice. And we all know that they were here in June for a meeting with local officials. That's the only time they've been to Wilmington. They spent about 90 minutes in that closed-door meeting and then never came back. But we have tried repeatedly to speak with folks at Chemours and DuPont, because Chemours is a spinoff from the DuPont company, and we've had no luck. But we will certainly keep trying.
When you were talking about Emily Donovan's concerns, and, you know, she addressed her own pregnancy and her concern about twins, that's really the most important and immediate part of the story, the effect on human health. What have we learned since June about that?
Very little. Very little. There's anecdotal evidence. There are residents who've, you know, had some health issues that that could be related to things in the water. This would involve, you know, the kidneys, thyroid problems. There is an initial health study being run by the Department of the Center for Human Health and the Environment, a gal named Dr. Jane Hoppin, who we interviewed in Raleigh at NC State. They took blood and urine and drinking water samples from close to 400 Wilmington residents last month, and they are now analyzing them to see what they might find. And we also spoke with Peter Herman, who's with an organization called, I can't remember now, but he has a child with an extremely rare form of cancer, and Peter has had cancer himself. He spoke recently on the steps of City Hall, and then we spoke with him.
My daughter is a survivor of Wilms tumor, bilateral Wilms tumor, which is a very rare childhood cancer, and it affects the kidneys. And Wilms tumor is rare in itself, but bilateral is extremely rare. And it is, you know, she's even been genetically tested, and she doesn't carry the gene for Wilms tumor. So to us, that means it's got to be environmental. There's got to be some kind of environmental cause for a cancer. And you know, if you look at the research of, you know, types of cancers that, you know, the possible risk for cancers with Gen X, you know, C8 and all those other chemicals, it points to, you know, the parts of the body like organs that deal with, like your kidneys, you know, that are dealing with filtering of your blood. There's always a possibility that those chemicals are causing, you know, the cancer.
But causation isn't easy to prove. In fact, it's really, really difficult to prove. Suzanne Brander is a toxicologist at Oregon State University. Until a few months ago, she held the same role here at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, where she also still does research. For causation, she says there are years, years of work to do.
There are no easy answers, and there are no immediate answers. It takes a lot of time to design studies to really get at what these chemicals may be responsible for causing, as far if they're causing any health effects. And it's challenging to gather that information. It's also challenging in today's political climate, as there may not be as much support from regulatory agencies as there may have been in the past. So, but I applaud the efforts of North Carolina State and ECU and UNCW for starting to scratch the surface and get some solid information on exposure concentrations in many different sample types.
Brander is also somewhat surprised that Gen X and the drinking water of the Cape Fear region remains the top story.
I thought we would still be talking about it, but not with regards to getting the company to stop discharging this chemical in their effluent. I thought that at this point that would be a closed case. I figured we would still be talking about it with regards to research, needed research, and that it would take a number of years to really discern what the potential health impacts could be, if there are any. But I thought at this point, I certainly was very surprised, as I'm sure everyone else was, to see that there was continued discharge of this chemical, Gen X, into the Cape Fear in October.
That was Suzanne Brander, a toxicologist formerly with UNCW, who is one of the experts that Vince Winkle, who has produced a documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year, consulted throughout the coverage of this story, Vince Winkle. So there's so little science that establishes causation. What kinds of studies are underway right now?
Well, the one I mentioned earlier that Dr. Hoppin is doing at North Carolina State University will only show us the levels of Gen X and other perfluorinated compounds in the bloodstream and urine of those Wilmington residents that chose to participate. it will in no way prove causation. It will show that, Jane Doe or John Smith has a certain level of Gen X or something else in their blood or urine and in their own home's drinking water. But that will lead to much larger studies that will attempt to prove a correlation between these chemical compounds and an illness or a symptom that one of these 400 people may have. So causation is far down the road, and they will release these results of this study in February to everyone that participated, but it's only going to show what's in their system. It will not show any sort of causation. That's a whole different ballgame.
Vince Winkle has produced an hour-long documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year, which airs here on WHQR Friday, December 15th at 1 p.m. We have a question from Don. He writes, besides the testing of water for the existence of Gen X, has UNCW begun testing of living plants and animals to detect the impact that the dumping of Gen X has on the environment and the food chain? And he follows up with, if the North Carolina State Legislature has funded such testing, why have those results not been released to the public?
To my knowledge, those tests haven't been done yet. I know it's on the minds of many individuals. I also know that the House Select Committee on North Carolina River Quality is trying to piece together some additional legislation to pass in January that would allocate more resources to these kinds of tests. At the same time, the DEQ and DHHS, that's the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Department of Environmental Quality, are running fairly lean. Their staff has been cut in recent years. And the governor attempted a few months ago to appropriate $2.5 million to bring the staff levels back up, but that has not happened yet.
There are always questions. There have been since this story broke in June about who knew what when and why the public wasn't told about this earlier. And certainly Cape Fear Public Utility Authority has taken a lot of grief from members of the public who said, how could you know about this and not tell us? We have a question from Tom who asks, where was the Cape Fear River Watch? Did the state's environmental group know? When did they know? So can we talk about that? Just Detlef Canapi led the research team from NC State. So they were the first to know. But how did this chain of awareness unfold?
Well, it actually, and for this documentary, we talked to the folks at the Environmental Protection Agency labs in Raleigh, in particular a scientist named Mark Striner, who actually started looking at the Cape Fear River off and on since 2006. And they were aware of a variety of chemical compounds in the river, but they never did the specific testing that began years later with Detlef Canapi and his researchers from North Carolina State University. That paper was released in 2016, and the DEQ and the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority was made aware of that. But they didn't release it to the public because they didn't have, what they told me is they wanted to do more research and get more information because so little was known about this chemical compound, Gen X. Gen X, as most people know now, is used in the production of Teflon and was created to replace something called C8, which was proven many years ago to be a lot more toxic. And that's why DuPont started producing Gen X in 2009. And then, of course, DuPont spun off into Chemours in 2015.
And CFPUA knew about this before the Star News broke the story. What is there? You've talked with Jim Fleckner, mm-hmm. who leads that utility. What's the answer to why they didn't say, hey, folks, there's a chemical compound that's unregulated in the water supply that we can't filter out?
Because they wanted to learn more about it, and they also felt that And I'm not going to say there's a lot of finger pointing, but there has been a lot of confusion over who is responsible for what. And the Department of Environmental Quality, and above that the EPA, is more responsible for what's flowing down the Cape Fear River than the public utility. So they made the decision to do more research in 2016 rather than release that news to the public.
And, of course, so the EPA sits at the top of the food chain here, the federal regulatory mm-hmm. agency. Are there advisories or guidelines or standards for Gen X and similar chemical compounds at the EPA level?
No, only at the state level now. You know, we've all heard the number 140 parts per trillion. If Gen X coming out of the Cape Fear Public Utility into our taps is under 140 parts per trillion, it is deemed safe
and
to drink.
What's our understanding at this point as to why the EPA doesn't have a standard for this? That's one of the questions that we haven't been able to answer.
Correct.
We don't know why the EPA hasn't set a standard, although the EPA has been aware of this chemical since its genesis.
Yes. Yeah.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM and 98.9. We're talking with WHQR's Vince Winkle about his new hour-long documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year, which airs for the first time this coming Friday, December 15th, at 1 p.m., and he's taking your questions on this Wednesday. After this break, you'll have one more segment to call in and ask your own question. We're going to hear from Cranston in just a moment. The number during this live Wednesday show is 910-343-1138. You can also email a question to coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. Listening to Coastline, I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're learning today about what it's been like to cover the story of Gen X, an unregulated chemical compound that Chemours has been dumping into the Cape Fear River for years, which is the source of drinking water for most people in southeastern North Carolina. WHQR reporter Vince Winkle has covered the story since June, and he's produced a documentary called Gen X, A Toxic Year, that airs Friday, December 15th at 1 p.m. We're taking your questions about Gen X and the story and the process of covering the story on this Wednesday. Are there elements to this you've never understood? Are local reporters using jargon that trips you up and that you'd like explained? Are there other questions you want answered? There are two ways to get your question in during this live Wednesday discussion. Either call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And just a reminder, this is the last segment, and you only have a few minutes left to get your question in. Cranston writes, if these chemicals are used to manufacture Teflon, then are we being exposed to them when we cook with Teflon cookware? And are we buying bottled water and free-range eggs only to fry them on Teflon and ingest these chemicals, which is a natural question?
It's an excellent question.
Yes.
And I don't see any proof that using Teflon is going to get into the food or whatever products you put in that pan. But a lot of people have asked that question. The toxins come from the manufacturer of Teflon, not the actual use of Teflon.
You went to Raleigh. This was part of putting this documentary together, and you visited the EPA lab there, and you talked in the last segment about meeting with Mark Strinar, who has been exploring the content of the Cape Fear River since 2006.
Fascinating. The EPA facility in Research Triangle Park is huge. Very impressive. And there are some very sharp people there that are looking into this issue. And Mark Striner has been working on it off and on for many years. He actually showed me the machine where he first discovered Gen X. And he's putting a lot of time into this, very impressive, and it was good to visit with him.
Let's listen.
In a lab at the sprawling Environmental Protection Agency facility in Research Triangle Park, Mark Striner is huddled over some very high-end equipment.
So this instrument that we're standing in front of is what's called a time-of-flight mass spectrometer. And so what that is also, it's a high-resolution mass spec. This is an instrument that allows us to detect the molecular weight of a chemical. I don't care what that chemical is. It's made up of elements, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, etc. And when you put those together and you measure the molecular weight of a chemical to a high degree of accuracy, we can predict its formula. So that's what this instrument is used to do. It's the instrument we use for non-targeted screening in water samples, such as down on the Cape Fear River for Gen X and related analytes.
Striner has been working on the Cape Fear River system since 2006.
And it's been an ongoing effort for the better part of a decade for perfluorinated chemicals. With respect to, you know, the new things that we have discovered since 2015 was our first publication on that effort, and later on in 2016, the paper that Mason is the lead author on that got all the press down in Wilmington, that's the measurement of these new compounds we discovered in the drinking water, in the surface water, and that sets the stage for toxicology to begin. Until you know what you're looking at, you know, the toxicologists don't know what to begin using in their studies for dosing, etc.
That paper was co-written by Detlef Knappe, the North Carolina state scientist who has been making regular trips to Wilmington these last few months. He was instrumental in bringing the topic to the public's attention.
Lots of research questions, obviously, especially surrounding toxicity and health effects. And more immediately, what's next is just how is the Chemours facility or the whole Fayetteville Works facility going to be managed in the short term and also in the long term? And also, how are other industrial discharges across the state managed? What kind of monitoring programs do we have to put into place to prevent these kinds of situations in the future? So there are lots of policy questions there. What will DEQ do? What can they do to control discharges into drinking water sources, for example?
That's an excerpt from WHQR's new documentary, Gen X, A Toxic Year, written and produced by WHQR's Vince Winkle. And we're talking with him today on Coastline about the making of that documentary, the story as it's unfolded over the last 6 months, and what we know now versus what we knew 6 months ago. Vince, we have a question via email at coastline@whqr.org. Someone writes, can a home or a sink water filter reduce or eliminate Gen X from tap water?
Well, you know, we just heard from Dr. Detlef Knappe, who is a proponent when it comes to smaller in-house systems of reverse osmosis over activated charcoal. He says that is the best system to put in your house. I've talked to a lot of folks who have installed reverse osmosis systems under their sink so that the water that they drink, the water that they cook with, is free of these chemical compounds. Now, you can also get a reverse osmosis for the entire house. It's going to cost you a lot more, but an under sink unit is a few hundred dollars, and Dr. Knappe says they last several years.
You're listening to Coastline, talking with Vince Winkle about his new documentary, Gen X, A Toxic Year. Just a few minutes left to get your own question in at 910-343-1138 or at coastline@whqr.org. Christopher from Wilmington, or rather Kathy from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my question. So my question is, what recourse do we have? Here we've been, you know, paying CFPUA all these years, and the water that we've been ingesting is obviously poisoned with these chemicals. And so now we're buying bottled water at a cost of, you know, 100 extra bucks a month for the family. And the whole idea that we have no say until we're sick, and sick enough that they deem it maybe connected to Gen X. And, you know, there's just so many feelings of out of control completely and being taken advantage of. And I would like to know, do we have any recourse, or do we have to wait until we are so sick that they might find some connection, and then we can get, you know, some kind of compensation monetarily? But in the meantime, here we are paying CFPUA, who just asked for a 17% increase in their, you know, money, and also buying water so that we can drink, because now we know that the water is poisoned and we need to make amendments to, you know, what we're ingesting. And I could go on, but I know it's a little rambly, but can you answer any of those questions? And where's the EPA been? Who's taking any responsibility?
Kathy, those are good questions, and I think there are a lot of people who feel the way you do, just kind of out of control and at the mercy of the regulators. Vince Winkle, thanks so much for your call, Kathy.
Well, there will be a lot of litigation. Several class action lawsuits have already begun. But those take a long time. And we look at the case in Parkersburg, West Virginia, which involved DuPont and Gen X's precursor, C8. A class action lawsuit was filed in 2001 or 2002 involving 3,500 people. In February of this year, 15 years later, DuPont cut a check for $670 million to settle that lawsuit. It took so long because there needed to be proof of causation, which again involves health studies, and those take years. For the present time, people are just paying the money for the water and paying the. I know a lot of folks threw their arms up when the utility announced a rate increase. I believe days or weeks after this story broke. Which was unrelated to this story, of course, but there will be a lot of litigation, and some of it's already in the works, and that's all I can say about that.
One of the interesting elements to the litigation was the notion of bioaccumulation or a biofilm on people's residential plumbing systems. A woman in Leland filed a suit claiming something. Tell us about that, Vince.
Yeah, a couple months ago, a woman, Victoria, who lives in Leland, drained her water heater and had the water and the sediment at the bottom tested. And it turns out that the levels were pretty high for Gen X, hundreds of more parts per trillion than this provisional health goal. So she has filed a lawsuit, and from that we learned that this compound, which likes water, accumulates, bioaccumulates. It doesn't degrade in the pipes and creates what Dr. Cahoon at UNCW calls a biofilm that is hard, if not impossible, to get rid of. It means replacing your pipes. So that's another level to this story. I mean, there's so much. Again, it's a cliche, but there's so much more that we don't know about all these compounds that folks are still trying to answer for us.
We have a question from Elaine. She writes, how long until CFPUA decides to install a system-wide RO or other solution? This is a region they manage, and they are working on new technologies, Vince.
Correct, they are. We interviewed the director of engineering there, who in the documentary describes the three processes they are currently testing. They've eliminated for now reverse osmosis because at that scale it's cost prohibitive and wouldn't last that long. So they're looking at granular activated charcoal, and they're looking at ion exchange. And those two systems, they feel that they're going to be pilot testing in 2018 to see which system would be best for the Sweeney Water Treatment Plant. But again, that raises the point of why does the public need to remove it from the water? Shouldn't it be the responsibility of a company simply not to put it there.
The regulatory process has been a head-scratcher in so many ways. The Department of Environmental Quality was supposed to be on top of toxic discharge into the water and into the air. Chemours had a permit. Do we know? Was the company complying with the permit, or is that one of those unanswered questions?
They were not complying with the permit, but that was initially because they simply didn't report that they were discharging this compound into the Cape Fear River. And if you don't know about a compound in the river, you can't test for it. And then they got caught. And currently they're still operating under the old permit. They've applied for a new permit because their old one expired over a year ago, but they still operate under that permit, although it's been altered. So now Gen X or Chemours is not allowed to release their wastewater process into the river. So instead, it's placed in tankers and is being shipped to Texas for disposal.
And we have a clip from your documentary, Gen X, A Toxic Year. DEQ Sheila Holman is talking about the process, and she's followed by Cape Fear Riverkeeper Kemp Burdett.
As for a new discharge permit for Chemours, that's a fight for another day. Sheila Holman is Assistant Secretary of the Department of Environmental Quality.
There's not a deadline. We obviously, on November 16th, issued a 60-day notice of intent to partially revoke the permit. So before taking any action relative to their wastewater, their manufacturing process wastewater discharge in a permanent way, in a permit, we need to let that 60 days expire. And so we continue to look at various options. You know, what's the best path forward?
The Chemours discharge wastewater now sits in tanker cars at the facility. They will soon be shipped to Texas by rail and dealt with through deep well injection. An injection well is a device that places fluid deep underground into porous rock formations like sandstone or limestone. It will remain that way until Chemours or someone finds a solution to handling these waste products in the future. Riverkeeper Kemp Burdett.
There are a lot of folks in our community who can't go out and buy a water treatment system. They can't go out and buy bottled water. They can't afford the kind of treatment that people talk about. And so, you know, we really got this totally backwards if we even take one step down that path about, you know, what are we going to do to treat contaminated water coming out of our tap, instead of saying, you know, this company has, you know, almost untold resources. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar company, one of the leading chemical manufacturing companies on the planet. They can treat their waste. They should treat their waste. And it shouldn't be up to people to be the dumping grounds for corporations like Chemours.
Cape Fear Riverkeeper Kemp Burdett from WHQR's new documentary, Gen X, A Toxic Year, written and produced by Vince Winkle. Vince, I just want to read Anne's email. She says, what would it take to put Chemours and DuPont out of business? It seems like they'll just keep doing this in other places to other communities.
They have a lot of lawyers. They make tremendous amounts of money, and they will. In our case, you know, they've ignored us a lot, or they've ignored this community. But they've got deep pockets, very deep pockets.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Vince Winkle, what a pleasure having you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
His hour-long documentary is called Gen X, A Toxic Year, and it airs Friday, December 15th at 1 p.m. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. Production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caroline DeVries is our webmaster. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. Get the podcast. Find it on the HQR app. Join us for Coastline Live, Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.